May it please the Court. Sarah Beth Landau for Mr. Garza. The issue before the Court is whether there was reasonable suspicion for the Border Patrol to detain Mr. Garza's vehicle based on the tip of a confidential informant passed through a family member in an area noted for smuggling near the border, that there was an older model truck, not from the area, traveling north on FM 650, carrying plywood in the back. Absent from the secondhand tip is any description of criminal activity. The vehicle was merely suspicious. As the district court stated, for all the officers knew, this was a hunch. That's at page 150 of the record on appeal. The district court again called it a hunch. The informant, he said, could have just had a hunch, and we're sort of excusing the informant's lack of articulable facts that would create reasonable suspicion. That's at page 155 through 156 of the record on appeal. Even the description of the truck itself is vague, containing no information about the driver, the color of the vehicle, the license plate. As the district court said at page 148 of the appellate record, we're left to speculate as to the illegal activity. The district court's findings of fact on appeal are reviewed for clear error, and the district court found that that was the contents of the tip, and that I'm not contesting that that was the contents of the tip. But the district court, when applying the law to those facts, made a mistake that is reviewed de novo, and that mistake is that if the confidential informant is reliable enough, it's okay not to have any concrete information about illegal activity, that just suspicion and hunch is sufficient. And the district court indicated that it was perfectly legal to rely on that hunch because of the district court's finding that the informant was so reliable. The court looks at the veracity, reliability, and the basis of knowledge of the informant. And under this court's decision in Martinez, the court looks to the credibility and reliability of the informant, the specificity of the information contained in the tip, the extent to which the tip is verified, and whether the tip contains recent information or stale information. And certainly this tip did contain recent information and not stale information, but there are issues with the remaining three prongs that cannot be overcome. With respect to the credibility and reliability of the informant, the district court found that the informant was very, very reliable, quote unquote. But the actual batting average of this informant is a little questionable. The agent Thielander, who is sort of the handler for this informant, said that the informant had given between 50 and 100 tips, and that had resulted, in over the course of about 5 years, and that had resulted in about 13 or 14 seizures. So we have as many as 100 tips resulting in 13 or 14 seizures. Now, the government pointed out that Agent Thielander testified that the only reason there were not more seizures was because the Border Patrol did not get there in time. I'm not sure how you would know that other than the informant's word that you just missed them. But even taking that as true, looking at the testimony of Agent Thielander in context, right after Agent Thielander said, well, the times we didn't get any seizure was because we didn't get there in time, he followed that up with, was it wrong? Who knows? So I think even the first factor, which is what the district court relied on so heavily, is questionable.
The two factors can compensate for each other, generally.
Yes.
Yes. As I read your argument, the cross-pollination issue isn't even implicated because there's no suggestion of criminality.
Correct.
That's your core argument, right?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. As to the specificity of the information contained in the tip, obviously that is a huge problem. There is no specific information contained in the tip. There's no indication that the tip...
What if a CI said the Sokolow circumstances? He's paying with cash, it's a one-way flight to Los Angeles, all sorts of innocent activity. Or Wardlow, CI said, and he's unprovokedly running away. You're saying from a CI that can't count, but from a cop it could?
Well, I think it could count in the sense that it's a lead to follow up on. I'm not saying the police should not investigate that tip. But then there has to be some corroboration of criminal type behavior, not just the innocent behavior. That's what this court said in Martinez. If all you corroborate is innocent behavior, Terry is a dead letter, yeah. I think is what Judge Benavides wrote.
Part of the trouble, I mean, you've got, those are very interesting and good arguments, I think. They're hard to get my head around. But you still have to say it's a hunch on a hunch. Doesn't get you more than a hunch, because the personal observations under Brignone, if that's how it's pronounced, do seem to add up to quite a few factors. And then we get into our very large body of law that seems to pretty much go either way on a lot of these cases.
A lot of the cases, but we do have the hunch piled on hunch. That is really the problem in this case.
On the Brignone factors, the district court acknowledges, and I think the government almost acknowledges, that the Brignone factors here alone are not enough.
I think that's correct, Your Honor. And if you look at the factors...
That's not a factual finding.
No, I'm just saying...
I'm asking, how do we review that? That's a really important point. The district court made that finding, but that's of no weight to us, correct?
It is de novo review, yes, Your Honor. But I think that that part of the district court's reasoning is quite sound, in that I think what the court is referring to is that the district court said in the absence of this tip, there is no reasonable suspicion, because all that was seen at the gas station was a man near a truck filling his tank with gas. He was acting a little bit nervous, and he kind of quickly finished up his business. His hands were shaking. He gets back in the car, but he doesn't go anywhere. When the lights go on, he stays put. So we don't even have the Wardlow facts in this case.
But why can't, and I just want to be clear that I understand you, and you're right, there was, at least I think to some extent, a hunch here. But that hunch was based upon the experiences of an experienced Border Patrol agent. He receives information that something is amiss. Is he simply to ignore it if he observes something that he believes to be amiss? Why can't he at least approach the driver and the passenger and engage them in an effort to learn more about why they're there and perhaps what kind of activities they're engaged in? It seems to me he had every right to be where he was. Are you suggesting he didn't have a right to approach and engage the driver and the passenger in some discussion?
Well, the officer does not have the right to detain him and seize him. Certainly, if this were a street encounter, absolutely. In a more traditional Terry stop scenario, right. The officer could say, excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? But that's not what happened here. What happened is immediately after observing for, probably a matter of seconds, Mr. Garza's behavior, these patrol lights go on. He is seized at that point.
Your position, he was seized, i.e. arrested, they had to show probable cause? I thought this is an investigative stop. Right?
He was not free to leave at that point.
But it's still just reasonable suspicion. It's Terry.
Correct.
And Terry, it was enough just to see the guy walking back and forth in front of the jewelry stop. He's casing it out. Experienced officer says that's suspicious.
Absolutely, Your Honor. But because it's a vehicle, it's a slightly different calculus.
But it would be a calculus lesser border, functional equivalent of a border.
But we have no suspicion of actual criminal activity here. It really is just a hunch.
There's not a case that says you can just pull somebody over for an investigative stop.
No, Your Honor. Quite the contrary. I think in the Macias case, the court said that you cannot detain somebody at their vehicle 1 second longer than necessary once you've cleared reasonable suspicion, which assumes you had reasonable suspicion in the first place. Otherwise, you have...
How much time elapsed before he consented?
It was a few questions. It was almost immediate, as I understand it. The record is slightly elliptical as to that, but I recall from the testimony that he asked a few questions about where he was headed, asked if he could search. There's no attenuation whatsoever. But I think what's problematic here is we run into the problem outlined by Judge Benavides and Ronald Portillo, where if you can just really engage with, I think there's something hinky going on over there, and I'm a very trained and experienced Border Patrol agent, anybody can be pulled over.
But that is a case you relied on.
Yes.
When you read the majority opinion, although there is discussion of other factors, they say in this case it was proximity to the border and that's it. And then the court goes on to say, boy, it would be different if the vehicle characteristics were different. And you've got this agent saying, this car had plywood. And in my experience, people hide aliens under plywood.
Yes, the agent did say that. The district court found it equivocal, though. The district court said it's also consistent with innocent behavior.
Well, how much weight should we and perhaps even the officer give to the avoidance of eye contact, furtive glances, and that sort of thing? Wasn't that the case here?
Yes, there was the officer, Agent Guerrero, did testify that one passenger stared straight ahead and Mr. Garza was behaving nervously. But there was nervousness and sort of weird behavior in Ronjel Portillo as well. So we have a hunch with nervous behavior, and that just can't be enough. Even the Brignone-Ponzi factors, 5 of the 7 deal with characteristics that have nothing to do with an individual vehicle. It's all characteristics of the area, the officer's experience. These are things that apply to anybody in that area. So the remaining 2 characteristics become...
Well, what about the avoidance of eye contact? Is that a factor that would apply to anyone in the area who was perhaps not engaged in criminal activity?
I think people are frequently nervous around law enforcement. That alone is not enough, but certainly it's a factor.
No, I understand. But when you conduct this totality of the circumstances analysis that Brignone-Ponce requires, isn't that a significant factor?
I think it's a factor. I wouldn't call it dispositive.
An issue that I find concerning with your case is that Guerrero testified that the second dispatcher told him that the pickup truck could be loaded, and that would give you the criminal, the evidence of criminal conduct. I don't know how in the world the second dispatcher would have known that, because the tip didn't say it to begin with. But once the second dispatcher tells him that, can't he rely on that in good faith?
I'm glad you asked that, Your Honor. I wanted to address that. What I think this just adds another hunch, because what Agent Guerrero said that he was told was that the vehicle was possibly loaded with narcotics. So there's even a question mark as to the weight given that. It's not clear what the origin of that statement is. The government did not litigate the good faith issue, unlike many cases where this court has applied good faith. That is sort of a stray comment that really was never delved into, and it's in conflict with the testimony of Agent Thelander, who did not include that as part of the tip. In fact, he specifically testified at 2 or 3 different points upon questioning by Mr. Garza's attorney, by the attorney for the government, and by the court about the content of the tip. He denied that it contained information about illegal activity.
But if we have Guerrero's statement in the record that he did hear that, even if he's wrong, completely wrong, why can't we say that we could alternatively affirm on that, even if it was clearly erroneous for the judge to have concluded that the tip contained criminal information, as it seems to do with the various points in the transcript?
Well, Leon should not apply here, because Leon was a case about a warrant following a lengthy investigation. Leon was not about a police error, but the mistake of a magistrate who issued the warrant in error. And this isn't a warrant case. This isn't a lengthy investigation case. This is a tip passed like a game of telephone where the most critical details were omitted. Good faith is not sort of a King's X where if the government says, aha, good faith, on appeal, not having litigated it below, 2 paragraphs in their brief, that somehow we could ignore the totality of the circumstances in this case.
Well, let's consider the tip that was given. I can't imagine that it would be uncommon for an ordinary citizen to observe something that he or she believes may be amiss and then report that to officers. Are you arguing that officers should simply ignore those sorts of reports?
Certainly not, Your Honor. I think that officers should follow up on those with all due diligence,
But if that's all the officer has, and it's in an area where there's a high crime area, are you suggesting that the officer is not entitled to, again, at least engage the possible offender and to learn more about his status or her status, why he's there, what he's doing?
Well, the officer in this case was certainly free to pursue Mr. Garza beyond the gas station, just follow him, see what he did. That's the investigation that was required in this case. Certainly, if he was as nervous as he appeared to be from the description in the testimony, he could have committed a traffic infraction 2 minutes later, and that would have been a valid basis to pull him over. He could have, the aliens who were being transported could have, peeked out from under the plywood. He could have noticed that the car was heavily loaded. Any number of legitimate factors tending to show criminal activity as opposed to mere nervousness coupled with the hunch. And I absolutely am not saying that the police should not follow up on tips. I just think they should actually follow up on them and not just immediately detain people based on something less than reasonable suspicion, which is not good faith.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Loretta Berry for the United States. Under the totality of the circumstances, a reasonable officer in Agent Guerrero's position had an objective basis to suspect criminal activity in Garza's truck based upon the information that he received from Border Patrol, based upon his experience and specialized training as a Border Patrol agent, and based upon his personal observations.
Do you agree that the Brignone-Ponce factors are not enough here?
I do not, Your Honor, because I think that you can't just consider those in isolation. You have to consider all of the factors.
Well, I'm asking, are they enough by themselves?
I think it would depend on, I think it's a close call, as the district court said.
Is there a case that's ever found that the Brignone factors were satisfied with on this type of record?
What do you, mean by a hunch, as the appellant, sorry? That's not the case that we have here. This isn't a hunch, and here's why. The Agent Guerrero testified that he was specifically told by the Border Patrol that the truck was loaded with narcotics. If the court looks at record 190 through 191 and record 200, the court will see that this Border Patrol agent was told that. With respect to good faith reliance, the district court specifically used the term good faith and stated that it didn't matter that the information that Agent Guerrero received was incorrect.
Did you relitigate good faith in the district court?
Actually, Your Honor, the district court was the person that raised the argument,
well, the
as I just
said. Well, the district court kind of had several different. The district court first determined, and I think you would say this was clearly erroneous, that the tip itself contained evidence of criminality. That would be an error, wouldn't it have been?
I would agree, yes.
So the district court made an error there. But then it, alternatively, the district court in a discussion mentioned good faith. Did you argue that it was a good faith error of Guerrero in the district court, and did you argue it here? And if you didn't argue it in both places, do we need to consider that argument, or is it waived?
Let me just say that in the district court, as I said, the district court made the mention of good faith and held the agent was entitled to rely upon the misinformation. In my brief, I did argue good faith, and there's two cases that I cited that
Did you argue it in the district court?
As specifically that argument, no, but Your Honor, there's no requirement that we were supposed to actually, the cases that the appellant relies upon do not state that we had to specifically raise the argument. The case was a warrant case.
It's a complicated case. I think what the brief suggests to me is factually, legally, and logically, it's hard to use this tip for anything.
Absolutely, it is.
Okay, but that's because factually we know there was never an original comment made to law enforcement about drugs. That just pops in somewhere, so it's a mistaken fact, and we know when they eventually, hindsight, it wasn't true.
Correct.
Legally, it's importing Leon in good faith into a dubious area, and then the government doesn't push it either. And then maybe most importantly, at least from my vantage point, even if you credit it at all, but for the mistaken fact, there's very little suggested about criminality. But having heard me say that, let me frame it as a question. I look at these Brignone factors, and you add them up for me. It seems to me you've got quite a few with an experienced officer.
I agree, Your Honor. Let me just say, though, however, that the case that I think is the strongest that I did cite in my brief is De Leon. And in that case, the facts, if the court will bear with me, the arresting officer himself was highly negligent because he failed to follow the unit policy, and it resulted in an incorrect license plate number. And so he pulled over the defendant in part on his own negligence. And this court en banc applied the good faith in this circumstance and held that despite the fact that the arresting officer himself was negligent, he could still rely on the incorrect information in conjunction with other factors. And the other factors were the notorious drug road, the proximity to the border, the fact that plywood was in the back of the truck, which was a recognized thing in the Border Patrol manual, and it had ambiguous cargo. Now,
isn't
here,
De Leon distinguishable, though, because there is no showing that Guerrero actually relied on this information before making the stop.
The reason that case is reliable, in fact, our facts are even stronger, is because Agent Guerrero didn't make a negligent mistake. He simply, the first thing he receives is the Be on the Lookout report on his radio, to be on the lookout for a very generic description of an older model truck with plywood in the back, and he exercises caution and discretion as a reasonable officer. He calls back to the Border Patrol to get more specific information. And what is he told? He's told that this truck is loaded with narcotics and that this information comes from ICE agent Thielander, who he knows is a 5-year ICE agent veteran in the area.
But if we conclude there's no evidentiary basis that he was ever told that, because the second dispatcher would not have had that information because it didn't exist, then it's his error. And so he didn't actually rely upon that. It was after the fact that he got confused and testified about it. So it's different than De Leon versus Reyna, De Leon Reyna, because in De Leon Reyna, the gentleman stopping the person did rely on the wrong license plate at the time, but this is an after the fact confusion during the testimony. Not, there's no evidence in the record that the second dispatcher would have possibly known this about being loaded, and it's much more believable that he got confused.
Who got confused?
Officer Guerrero, when he was testifying.
But that's not his testimony, Your Honor. If you look at record 190 and 191 and record 200, he was the one that first used the word loaded. And he said, I was specifically told by the Border Patrol that this truck was loaded.
Right. How in the world would they have said that? That doesn't make sense.
Of course it does.
On this record.
Well, here's the issue. We don't know, but how it happened. But what we do know is ICE agent Thielander testified, this is the information I received from the CI. The information is that it was an older model pickup, it had plywood in the back, it was suspicious because it wasn't familiar in the area, and it would be located at this particular gas station. That's what he testified. From there, we know that Agent Guerrero testified that he was specifically told by the Border Patrol dispatch that the truck was loaded with narcotics. So there's obviously a negligence or a perhaps misassumption on the part of the dispatcher.
The district judge here didn't enter written findings, right?
He did not, no, Your Honor.
What's your best reference in the record that he made the credibility call that Guerrero was to be believed when he explicitly said, I was told it was loaded?
The court said he couldn't remember how the loaded issue came up. I don't think that he made a specific finding on the court said he wasn't sure if it was the attorneys, he couldn't remember. But if the court looks again, as I said, at those record sites, you will see that the agent was specifically told.
The agent said it. I just wonder if there's a finding of fact that we would be a tight.
No, there's not.
I have a separate question. The vehicle characteristics are something we have said are salient.
Absolutely.
And I looked in the record on appeal, which we have, but it's a photocopy version.
Yes.
It looks like government's exhibits 1 and 2 are of the vehicle. Can you describe how was this plywood or was this a pallet or was it a door, something big that people could be under?
Okay. Actually, Your Honor, it's government 6, exhibit 6, 7, and 8.
Uh-huh.
And if the court will look at those pictures, you can see the way the plywood was, and there was also a door sticking out, and Agent Guerrero, after he's told the specific information, he drives to the gas station. He observes two vehicles. He, again, this area is very isolated.
Just describe for me the wood.
The wood was a plywood piece that was leaning against the back of the truck. There was also a door sticking out. And, in fact, the district court credited Agent Guerrero's observations and stated at record 156 this was consistent with somebody hiding narcotics. The way the plywood was leaned against the back of the truck. And in fact, this court in De Leon held that the Border Patrol's manual states that plywood is typically used to hide contraband. The district court also credited the agent's observations of nervousness. The agent simply intended to approach and talk to Garza, who was pumping gas at the pump. His testimony said that he was going to simply talk to him. If you look at record 192 and 202, now he sees that the front seat passenger starts to act nervous. She never looks at him as he drives by. Garza himself tenses up. He quickly, his hand is visibly shaking as he tries to replace the gas cap. And the agent says that he attempts to leave. I will quote the record. He says, the truck actually started moving. It didn't go far, but it started moving. And the district court judge credited this nervousness. So the question is, yes, there is a flaw as to how the miscommunication happened from the dispatcher to Agent Guerrero. But the test is from Agent Guerrero's perspective. Was it reasonable? Was it reasonable for him to simply get out and question this person who is pumping gas? Was it reasonable under the totality of all the circumstances, what he's told, his experience, and his observations? And his experience is significant.
You're arguing that we should defer not only to the district court, but also to the officer in that circumstances, given his observations, his experience. One of the things that I find troubling, and this goes back to Judge Elrod's question about good faith reliance argument, it just seems to me that the record seems to be lacking any specific findings with respect to the credibility of the officer.
And again, officer, Your Honor? I'm sorry.
Of Agent Guerrero. Now, again, given that we're being asked to assume that in a subjective way that he acted reasonably, given all these factors that he articulated, that we have to assume that he acted in good faith. Was there any testimony developed at trial that you can point to that go to the issue of whether the officer or the agent, Border Patrol agent, acted in good faith? At least what was his belief at the time?
Well, I think you can infer that based on his experience, how he testified, how careful he was about, he didn't just act on the be on the lookout report. He didn't just attempt to pull Garza over just by the very generic report that he first received. He called back for more specific information.
And so taken together, then, you're asking us to assume, presumably as the district court did, that the officer did act in good faith.
I am. And the district court, I believe, found that because he credited Agent Guerrero's observations.
You told Judge Higginson just a minute ago that the district court did not make a finding about whether Agent Guerrero was told by the dispatcher. So are you saying the district court did or didn't make a finding on that point?
I think that I just quoted from the record at 156 that the judge credited his observations in that he said the truck's appearance was consistent with someone hiding narcotics and the nervousness was.
But he said he didn't know whether it was loaded. He said he didn't know if it came from the lawyers, or you just gave that information.
Okay. Well, being loaded is different. The loading aspect is different from the appearance of the truck and the nervousness.
Assuming arguendo that there is no evidence in the record that is credible that Agent Guerrero was ever told the truck was loaded prior to the stop, do you still win?
If there's no evidence whatsoever that he's told that the truck was loaded, I think that would be probably not.
Well, now, okay, think very clearly about that. Is that a concession that the Brignone factors aren't sufficient on their own? Are you making that concession?
I think it's just a really close question. I think under Terry, we're not allowed to divide and conquer and do the analysis where you rule out specific factors. You're asking me to put myself in a box where Terry doesn't allow for.
There's no box. There's six factors. Proximity to the border is one.
Right.
Smuggling route, which this 650 seems to be, is another. Experience of the agent is another. Passenger evasiveness, driver evasiveness, characteristics of vehicle. Are you saying those altogether aren't enough?
No, I think from the reasonable perspective of Agent Guerrero, they probably would be enough.
Okay, if those are enough, then that means that based upon no allegation or suspicion of any criminal activity, that any vehicle that is near the border can be stopped.
Absolutely
anytime,
not.
Because
absolutely
not. If the person is nervous around law enforcement.
Right.
And that, you know, we have cases that say if you look at the officer too much, you're suspicious. If you avoid eye contact, you're suspicious. If you're nervous or if you're too calm because you're trying to be too cool and collected, So basically, it's nothing. It's just being a vehicle near the border, a pickup truck near the border. You can automatically stop if you get nervous around the police. And is that the world we live in now in the circuit?
No, you have to have something stronger. And in this case, you have to consider everything that the officer knew. And what else is a Border Patrol agent to do when he calls in to get more specific information and he's told that the ICE agent, a very reliable ICE agent, has said that this truck is loaded with narcotics? And he drives to the location, and sure enough, there's the truck there. The driver's acting suspicious. The appearance of the truck is suspicious. It's a very low threshold to get out and simply engage.
That's what the district court did.
What is the...
That's what the district court found. That's exactly how he merged these issues. You see, we have some discomfort, and your opposing counsel points out this, I think, stretches the Gates rule. I keep coming back to, it is not just nervousness and a truck. It is a truck with plywood that this man, based on 3 years of experience, not only said could conceal something, but he also said, and you haven't mentioned it today, that he knows every resident in the 200-resident town. Sure. And this vehicle, he'd never, ever seen. You haven't said that.
No,
is that part of the calculation?
Yes, I have. I just haven't had a chance to get there, Your Honor. I apologize. If the court looks at Government Exhibit 2, the area itself, Frontone, is very isolated. It's only 54 miles from McAllen. It's 54 miles from McAllen. There's only 200 residents. And the Border Patrol agent testified that he knows the residents and he knows their cars.
Which is exactly what I was asking you. If it's if you happen to be in an isolated area with plywood in your pickup truck, that's reasonable suspicion is what this rule would be.
That would be the rule if you didn't look at the totality of the circumstances that was known to this particular officer at the time. And you
did not know about the... if the Border Patrol person did not tell him that Agent Thielander said that, because we know Agent Thielander did not say that.
He did not, but we do know that the dispatcher did tell Agent Guerrero that, and as a reasonable officer...
We do not know that.
Yes, we do, Your Honor. He was at record 190 to 191 and 200. The agent specifically testified, I was told this truck was loaded by ICE Agent Thielander.
But we don't know if that testimony is credible because it doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense in some of the other cases, like in De Leon, that the license plate number was incorrect. And yet, in that case, that was negligence on the arresting officer himself for failing to follow the policy. And in here, in this case, this was a agent who was following the orders of, he was following the information that he was told. Getting back to Judge Higginson's question about the area, if the court looks at Government Exhibits 3, the court will see how isolated this area is. And I'm not suggesting, Judge Elrod, that a truck would be pulled over just because it doesn't look familiar to the area. There has to be other factors. And in this case, as I've said, the information that he received, albeit we don't know how the error occurred, except that it had to have occurred somehow from the dispatcher.
Or it could have occurred from Guerrero getting his testimony mixed up. What your opponent argues.
Yes, but let me just say, if the court will just look at the appellant's brief with respect to that quote comes from Agent Thielander, not from Agent Guerrero. It comes from Agent Thielander saying that he's confused and it's been a long time, or he's going from memory. That's Agent Thielander, not Agent Guerrero. If the court will just look at that, look carefully at that part of the brief. The only road that comes in and out of this area is at Government's Exhibit 2, is Farm to Market Road 650. It's notorious for alien and drug smuggling. I think that viewed in the light most favorable to the prosecution, there is a reasonable view of the evidence to support the district court's determination. And
I guess
cutting
to the chase, and one of the concerns here is that it almost seems to me that you're suggesting that persons who travel highways that are close to the border in towns and areas that they may not be familiar with are subject to reduced expectations of privacy.
Absolutely not. I'm not suggesting that. And, you know, in fact, I don't believe that Agent Guerrero would believe that. And the reason I say that is because the first report that he received was very generic. There's an older model pickup, there's plywood in the back, and if he had simply pulled him over based on that information, that would be completely wrong. And he didn't do that. He called in for more specific information. And I think given the totality of all of these circumstances, what he's told, and is he entitled to rely on it? It's coming from an ICE agent. And how much more investigation is he supposed to do? Why is he supposed to doubt what he's told by the dispatcher? There's no evidence of nefarious intent by the dispatcher. There's no evidence that this is a widespread, deliberate problem by the Border Patrol. This is an isolated, negligent-type conduct. And Agent Guerrero is entitled to rely on that information that he receives. And based on his experience, his specialized training, the inferences that he's able to draw that might elude someone who's untrained in this area, and his personal observations, all would result in a reasonable suspicion in this case. And my time is up. If there are no further questions, I would request that the judgment be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you.
The government contends that the district court raised the issue of good faith, but that looked the words good and faith were used, but not in the Leon sense. If we look at page 156, which is where the court mentions it, the district court asks, in good faith, law enforcement, can't they rely upon a reliable source who advises them there's some illegal activity occurring when the history has proven that reliable source has been accurate dozens of times? The good faith that the district court is referring to there is not Agent Guerrero's good faith, but Agent Thielander's good faith. And the answer
can
to that,
do we have to do what was done below, or would they have waived that argument, or can we just find it on our own?
Well,
can she win even if it wasn't argued below and not found below?
The short answer, Your Honor, is no. In cases where the district court has applied good faith, it's been extensively litigated. There's not just a stray answer where we have no idea where it came from. It's a passing reference that Agent Guerrero makes as to what dispatch supposedly told him. But we don't know the source of that information. We don't know what dispatch actually said. And also, a small clarification is very important here. My learned colleague referred to loaded with narcotics. What Agent Guerrero actually said was possibly loaded with narcotics. And I think that's, given how little information is that there is in this record, that word possibly is very important because it's a hunch. So even if we were to credit this statement that comes out of the ether about possibly loaded with narcotics, it's still not enough because it's still a hunch. It was a hunch when it was conveyed from the confidential informant to the family member, to Agent Thielander, to the dispatcher. It was a hunch when it became a BOLO. A BOLO is not an arrest warrant. It's a be on the lookout. And that's
a mistaken hunch even. It's
correct.
But is there anything the record suggests deliberateness?
No, but there doesn't need to be.
And I just want to clarify that. That would be much more egregious.
Of course it would be.
A minute ago, you answered a question to Judge Elrod that the cases don't allow us to consider it. What is any case that says that if the district court made it part of his ruling?
Well, let me be very clear. The district court did not make it part of its ruling here. The district court did not invoke Leon. The district court did not say that Agent Guerrero acted in good faith.
Right.
Instead, the district court said it had no idea where that loaded business came from. It did come from Agent Guerrero, but the district court was confused about the source of that information. The district court did not credit that particular assertion by Agent Guerrero. It sort of left there hanging. It's in conflict with what Agent Thielander said, and on that basis, that is like a three levels of bootstrapping this court cannot do in good faith. We do not assume good faith. The government requested the court to assume good faith. That is not how good faith works. It is not an assumption. It is a burden of proof that the government did not make in this case. The government made no argument in this case. The entire argument was between counsel for Mr. Garza and the district court. There was no articulation of good faith. The fact that the word good appears next to the word faith does not mean that that issue was preserved. And given how little the issue was developed, and look at De Leon, it's much more developed in that case. That is a case where the court could reasonably
Why shouldn't we, as counsel for the government has argued, should simply imply, even though the district court may not have reached some expressed finding with respect to good faith, it certainly is implied, don't you think?
I don't think so. I think that there was not a finding by the district court crediting Agent Guerrero's assertion about what he said he heard from dispatch. I think that would be a necessary precursor to a finding of good faith. The other thing is this court should be very hesitant to apply the good faith analysis outside of the warrant context, and it has been, as this court's decision in Rainey demonstrates. In Rainey, the district court or this court declined to apply good faith to a traffic stop because the mistake was with respect to whether a driver's behavior constituted a traffic violation. And this court said that in a traffic stop context, a legal mistake, if we were to allow that to mean good faith, it would be ripe for abuse. And this is the kind of ripe for abuse situation that I think the court was talking about. Other circuits are very hesitant to apply Leon outside of a warrant context. And I think while this court has applied Leon outside the warrant context, it does so with some hesitation. And that hesitation is doubly warranted here, given the sparsity of the record, the findings of the district court, and the lack of pressing the issue in the district court. This is just not the case to extend good faith even further. The Supreme Court in Arizona versus Evans did remand for a determination of whose mistake was it, and we don't have that here. So at a minimum, the court would have to remand for further findings.
Thank you.